Welcome, everybody. Filibuster Freestyle presents F1 Feast. We're talking about the Saudi Arabia Grand Prix, as well as kind of where we're at between the first two races of the year in the 2024 season. Going to skip the theme song. And what I find hilarious is as I record and open up the MacBook, hearing all these dings and beeps because obviously all the emails coming in on my iCloud account. Super cool, super sweet. So we'll look at that disruption as this week's theme song. But speaking of disruption, through two races, and it's early, it looks like there will be absolutely no external disruption to Red Bull's dominance over the last two seasons as they've begun to completely dominate here in 2024. Max Verstappen has won both races going away. Checo Perez has come in second in both races fairly comfortably to very comfortably. And we can get into what cars and what drivers might have a chance to fight for the rest. But like I said, from an external disruption standpoint, it doesn't look like anybody's can hold a candle or is holding a candle to the Red Bulls once again. Now, internally, that's a different story, as clearly a lot of things have been in the news relative to Red Bull, relative to allegations of team principal Christian Horner, relative to the individual who reported those allegations now being suspended, sponsors threatening action. If there is at least more transparency into Red Bull's independent, internal or external, but funded by Red Bull investigation into the allegations, there's been some leaks of alleged content that was part of the complaint filed against the team principal, Christian Horner. So much going on internally at Red Bull. And it looks like if there is an issue, it may, in terms of competitively, it may actually be an internal implosion type situation in which the culture maybe isn't as rock solid or even close as to what they would have led you to believe, and maybe a bit of an internal conflict, power grab, etc., happening on top of what are very unfortunate and very troubling allegations relative to the workplace dynamic, relative to one of the most famous faces in F1 in terms of the team principal of Red Bull, who is, of course, the aforementioned Christian Horner. So there's more to come on that. But from a racing standpoint, the most intriguing part of the Red Bull, pun intended, internal combustion situation happening with some of the power dynamics, you know, putting the allegations aside, the power struggle that's now going on, Max Verstappen, obviously very powerful within Red Bull. Red Bull company founder had passed away a year plus ago. So Red Bull corporate is going through a bit of, I won't say a power struggle, I don't know, but there's certainly a power vacuum that's being filled. And then Max Verstappen is the absolute face of the sport right now. He's the three-time defending world champion. He's dominant. And there's now a seat open at Mercedes next year because Lewis Hamilton's going to Ferrari. And the rumor mill has started that essentially through Max's father, Joost Verstappen, that it could be a Max or Christian type situation for next season. That Max might be willing to walk away from Red Bull if Red Bull is going to dig in behind Christian and keep him there. And again, this is hearsay, and it's also coming not from Max, but from his dad. So you got to take that with a grain of salt. Nothing I'm saying is new to any other podcast about F1. But what is interesting is that the most dominant team, who because of the dominance the last couple seasons has made it relatively boring in terms of who's going to win each race, are making things interesting in a very unfortunate way, especially for the person who reported these problems with team principal Christian Horner in the first place. Never want that person to go through anything, or any people, if possible, to go through anything like that. So, nobody's perfect. Everybody gets a chance to tell their side of the story, but Red Bull really didn't handle it well by telling people anything. And whether people are perfect or not, if you don't really make a good faith effort to tell people what happened or to hold anybody accountable publicly, or at least make a comment towards the fact that you can't comment on any suspensions or penalties that have happened to any employee or any employees, you know, you're creating a bit of a news cycle, but you're not creating it for the right reasons, especially when you have the most dominant car. So really what we're going to be looking at, speaking of dominant cars, is the Ferrari clearly seems to be the second best car. They podiumed both races as well. So a third place for Carlos Sainz in the opener in Bahrain and a third place for Charles Leclerc in Saudi Arabia. And then Sainz had appendicitis last week. And so a rookie, Ollie Bearman, drove his first ever race. And he even produced 6 points in the race. I think he came in like seventh or something like that. I don't have it in front of me. But so three different people have driven for Mercedes and for Ferrari, and all three of them have scored points this year. And speaking of Mercedes, the Ferrari at the moment looks much quicker than the Mercedes, and Mercedes seems to be really mired in a Mercedes engine-powered triumvirate of the McLarens, the Aston Martins, at least with Fernando Alonso driving it, and the Mercedes are going to probably be pretty interchangeable in terms of who's having the best day and who's the top three team versus the top four team versus the top five team. But the flip side for that for Ferrari is Ferrari has a history of not developing during the year as well as some of the other teams. So will Ferrari come back to earth from a clear second through two races? And then there's a really, really big divide between team number one, obviously Red Bull, team number two at the moment, Ferrari, a very crowded McLaren, Mercedes, somewhat Aston Martin, especially with their one elite driver in Alonso. And then the other five teams on the grid. So Aston Martin's fifth with 13 points through two races. For perspective, Mercedes fourth with 26. And McLaren is third with 28. And then Ferrari's at 49. And Red Bull's all the way up at 87 already. That represents all but 1 point earned in the first two races. Haas, Nico Hülkenberg, comes in 10th in Saudi Arabia. Gets Haas a point. So Haas is in 6th. But Williams, Alpine, and two other teams all sitting on 0. And those two other teams are the recently renamed Visa Cash App, Red Bull, whatever they're calling themselves, team. And, of course, the Kick Sauber team, which used to be Alfa Romeo. It's actually nice that I don't have to say Alfa Romeo anymore, because over the last 2 years, I've been saying Alfa Romeo. Not a thing, not a car. Don't have to worry about it anymore. Kind of walked into one I didn't even need to do there. But anyway, you've got a clear divide between 1 and 2, 2 and 3 at the moment, and then between 5 and 6, and then 6 through 10 at the moment, it's going to probably be track-specific, setup-specific, tire-specific, luck-specific in terms of performance of the cars, reliability of the cars, availability of the drivers, health of the drivers, etc. So you're looking at the thing that everybody seems to be saying is that Alpine seems to have gone backwards yet again. And that's too soon to tell on the RB Visa Cash App team and on the Kick Sauber team. But you got Williams and Haas maybe at the moment looking good. Now, Haas is another team powered by Ferrari that doesn't necessarily develop well during the year. Williams definitely found their stride middle of last year. So there's a lot to go on here. But the bottom line is, aside from salacious rumors and allegations and content relative to what's going on inside of Red Bull and the intrigue that goes into a dominant force that has skeletons in its closet, which is just a human interest, you know, catnip, right? That's clickbait for any sport, any situation is, oh, wildly successful people externally are having very, very muddied internal turmoil, to use a word. There's always palace intrigue with that, but that's not why people want to really go racing or watch people go racing. And so, you know, you come back to the storylines and it's super early and there's still, I think, 22 races to go. This is going to be the longest season ever if nothing's canceled. And you're looking at, this is probably already over. Max has already won. So we're already getting into silly season of, well, Lewis will be at Ferrari's. Who's getting that Mercedes seat? Will be Max. That's also wonderful for the pundits and wonderful to talk about. But what you're seeing is, and I heard this from our friends at Missed Apex podcast, a lot of F1 podcasts that started in the last 2-3 years have decided to pack it in. The viewership's going down. It may have peaked. You know, Drive to Survive brought everybody in during COVID. And then the 2021 season, which came down to the last lap of the last race between Lewis and Max, was the culmination of all the work that went into Drive to Survive to create awareness and taking advantage of the perfect storm. Everybody was home in 2020 with nothing to do and caught up on 3-4 seasons of Drive to Survive. And they were all ready to watch the 2021 season, which was the most competitive championship race in the history of the sport, arguably. 22 was a snoozer. 23 was a snoozer. 24 appears to be a snoozer. And a lot of the folks who want to cover the racing already seem to be bailing. And a lot of the folks who want to watch the racing seem to also be bailing a little bit. And I think that's more because of all these new calendar events, but really more importantly, all these new sprint races. There's just so many races and the season's so long, you just can't catch your breath. And so more casual fans for sure, which is wonderful. But to convert those casuals to diehards, you need excitement on the track. And right now we're not getting that in this regulation set. And frankly, putting Max in a Mercedes next year and seeing how Max could do in that car would be more intriguing than watching him take the lead in the first lap. And then with the exception of an ill-timed safety car or a weather issue or a car malfunction, knowing that he's going to drive off into the literal sunset. So through two races, that's where we're at. Red Bull looking great. Ferrari looking great for now. And then the Mercedes power unit cars, besides the Williams, all bunched up in the 3 through 5 spots. We're going to see, right? We're going to see where we go next. But not a lot of drama on the track in the top of the field. And really, again, the midfield is kind of really spots 3 through 5. And then 6 through 10 is basically, it's way too early. Only 1 point earned by Haas out of those 5 teams. But if the McLaren and the Aston Martin and the Mercedes are all going to be fighting with each other and clearly better than the rest, and if the Ferrari is going to be better than those 3 teams and the Red Bull is going to be going 1-2 every week without car trouble, it's going to be tough for teams 6 through 10 to even get a point edgewise. Like, what's the weakness? Is any driver hurt? Does any car did not finish? And then does that move these lower teams into the spots? Because really, I mean, Red Bull has 2 solid drivers. One's exceptional. Ferrari has 2 solid drivers. McLaren has 2 solid drivers. Mercedes has 2 solid drivers. Aston Martin has 1 solid driver. And Lance Stroll, who's not terrible most of the time. It's really like Lance's spot or a car malfunction or a crash away from everybody's kind of playing for like that 1 point every week. It's kind of grim to be a midfield team person too. That's all I got right now, guys. Give me 2 seconds to look up what the next race is. All right, so the good news is this year we don't have the waiting period we had last year. So we're going down under, we're going to Australia, and we're going there 11 days from now. I'm recording this on the 13th of March, March 24th from Australia. Should be fun. And then you get the Japanese Grand Prix April 7th, and then the Chinese Grand Prix returns on April 21st. And then Miami on May 5th. So what you actually have now that you got the first 2 races out of the way is you have a nice every other week cadence. Emilia Romagna, same thing. If that got canceled last year because of rains, that's May 19th. And then Monaco is the 26th. So the first 1 week turnaround that we have to deal with after these first 2 races we just did isn't until Emilia Romagna and then Monaco in kind of mid to late May, which is really good stuff. So anyway, exciting to be back, exciting to see what might happen outside of the Red Bulls, but I just don't see a world in which if Max and Checo can keep focused on the track and Red Bull can keep putting a competitive car out there despite their turmoil and all the salaciousness going on allegedly within that team, they're going to be 1-2. They're going to win the Constructors. Max is going to win his fourth straight championship. I'd love for some more intrigue than that. And we can manufacture it somewhere else, but that's the early assessment, unfortunately. But never say never.